Today on Real Radio.
Where does this freedom that God has given us apply? Where are we not to exercise this freedom? I want you to be thinking about that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of messages where he discusses some biblical insights regarding events that are currently affecting our culture. It's a topical mini-series that's based on the biblical worldview. So why is it so important? Well, we are heading into an election cycle, and the voting booth is one place where we can let our light so shine. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Politics and Faith. Why should the Christian care?
Christian, all of us are to do righteousness. We are to do the right thing. Yeah, but I feel, forget your feelings. What's the right thing? What's the right thing to do? We are commanded by God to do the right thing. Those are good works. We're to do the right thing. Our second point tonight is this. Our biblical worldview on politics, asking this question of why should the Christian care, is because we are the voice for good. You are. I am. We are the voice for what is good. We know what is good because we have this. Well, you know, there's other opinions. I respect those other opinions. And I respect your freedom to be wrong regarding your opinion. Did you know? Listen. I mean, that sounds sarcastic, but I'm going somewhere with this. I'm old enough to have grown up in an America where if you and I disagreed with one another, at the end of the day when we had our arguments and our debate, we went out and had pizza together. We didn't kill each other. We didn't pull out guns and shoot each other. You know what the definition of that is? Noah Webster gave it this definition in 1826. Tolerance. Ladies and gentlemen, young people today, you don't know the definition of the word tolerance. Tolerance today is, y'all got to think like I think, and if anyone doesn't think like I think, we'll destroy them. We will marginalize them. We will mock them into oblivion. That's not tolerance. That's tyranny. If you're tolerant, you can get along, even love someone who completely disagrees with your biblical worldview or your atheism or your agnosticism or your Hinduism or your Islam or whatever isms. Isn't it interesting? Today, I thought about this today. Please, listen. Today, a Harvard professor from Harvard. Look, if you have enough money today or whatever, you can get through Harvard no problem. Okay, so tonight on the news, a Harvard professor has almost certainly discovered information that proves that Jesus had at least one wife, maybe more. And you know what I did as I was putting on my slip-ons tonight? And I saw that on the news. Wow. I said, wow, what a dope. Well, wait. And I came here. And then I thought, as I was driving here, I should find an embassy to burn. I need to find an embassy. We should march to Harvard and burn it down. Why? Because Christianity is a peaceful religion. Let's burn it down. Are you kidding me? Constantly we are mocked. Constantly the Bible's ridiculed. constantly Jesus' name, no one cuts their thumb and says, Mohammed, that hurt. No, they cuss the name Jesus, don't they? They cuss the name, the world cusses the name Jesus. And no one burns down something. Isn't that interesting? The Christian voice, biblically based, is a voice for good. It's a voice for the innocent. It's even the voice for the guilty. Our Judeo-Christian laws, jurisprudence in America is based upon the Bible. The Bible says that you should not receive an accusation against a minister, a pastor, a church leader without three witnesses. Did you know that? It says it in the book of Timothy. Oh, did you hear what this pastor? You know what? Stop, don't tell me anymore unless you have three witnesses. I'm not supposed to listen to it. And did you know our founding fathers said, you know, based upon the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's how people here will be convicted. We need two or three witnesses. And they put it into our jurisprudence and the creation of our system. And I could go on and on all night about what they've lifted from the scriptures. If you read John Locke's Treatise on Government and Society, two volume, you can buy it at Barnes and Noble's or whichever one's in business still. Buy it. 1,500 John Locke, 1,500 times John Locke cited the scriptures, and our founding fathers read John Locke and incorporated it into the creation of this nation. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. We are a voice for good. Who's going to speak up for the things that are wrong? And how do we speak up? We vote. We call in. Do you understand? Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. You call the 202 phone number in Washington, D.C. The thing says, press 1 if you are in or disagreement with this policy. Press 2 if you are in agreement. Use it. Do it. You've got the opportunity in this nation to do that. We can stand on street corners with signs and say yes or no or, you know, up or down or whatever. Do that. It's your voice being proclaimed and you're standing for what is right. You can stand in front of an abortion clinic and tell that young lady, are you sure you know what you're doing? Please don't do what I did. You're going to regret it. Think about it. Give it one more week. Think. Read this before you make your decision. A voice for good. I can say that because I survived an abortion. A voice for good. Proverbs 29:18 in the New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If I were to ask you tonight, now you guys are different. This church is highly informed. But what if I were to say to you, are you aware of what's going on right now regarding most people, most citizens would have no idea, and yet it will affect their life and their children's life and their grandchildren's life for the rest of time. Christians are to speak into the culture, and we can do that in various ways. And I'll say in this season, voting is the opportunity that's before us. The third thing tonight is this. Our biblical worldview on politics, why should the Christian care, is because we are the keepers of civility. So what do you mean by that, man? It's keepers of civility. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you really want to understand Christianity or Christianity's influence in the world, you need to look at the spirit of Christianity, which is revealed in the Sermon on the Mount. What the Ten Commandments is to the Old Testament, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7 is the spirit of Christianity. In verses 3 to 9 of chapter 5, listen to this. As we are the keepers of civility, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We should be humble people who care about others. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we look at our culture and we see the decadence and the decay and the injustice that's being done to people, to the widows and to the fatherless, to those that are truly hurting, honestly hurting, we should be prominent keepers of civility as Christians. You see, all of a sudden now, no place should be exempt from Christian influence. I had an amazing opportunity. I won't share much, but I spent, I don't know, I was in jail yesterday. And I had an opportunity to tour a jail up in Castaic, Los Angeles County Jail. And I saw a lot of things, but I had a great opportunity as the chief said, "You want to come up here and say something to these guys?" God moment. I didn't know that was going to happen. But I won't tell you exactly everything what I said, but I just told them this because, you know, I walk up in front of them and I'm free. And they're not. And I just said, "Hey, listen, I'll just say a few things to you today, but let's just keep this in mind. The only reason why I'm standing here free and you're here not free is because you got caught. But before God, we are all sinners. You see, I'm free because I didn't get caught. All of us have sinned." And these guys were there and they were studying the Bible. They literally had Bibles. In fact, by the end of the day, they were asking, "Can we get some sermons here? Can you get us some commentaries? We really like John MacArthur," they said. Isn't that amazing? By the way, it's a pretty amazing thing to be in a jail. And when these guys stood up, I said, "Let's all stand up and let's pray." You got white guys, black guys, Hispanic, every color under the sun. Do you know what? These guys are, listen, I don't know if you know this. Law enforcement people here tonight will say, "Are you sure that really happened?" It really happened. God is my witness. These guys stood up and they put their arms on each other. They touched each other. Black man, white man. And I made mention, you know, I said, "Look at you guys. The only reason why and the only reason for this happening is one name. It's Jesus. Only one name. Where Christianity is rightfully lived out, the gospel is honored, people are loved no matter what your view is, we become keepers of civility in a culture. A culture has no idea that when you marginalize Christianity and those that are trying to speak into the culture for good, you are destroying and attacking your own culture." "Oh, what proof do you say that?" The Judeo-Christian worldview influence? I challenge you. Hospitals around the world, look how they were started by whom? Overwhelmingly Christian. Schools, universities, missionary ventures, overwhelmingly Christians. Harvard, Christian. If you attend UCLA, when you go back to school, or if you have a logo, maybe you have a diploma, look at the logo from UCLA. I don't know if it's as current today as it once was, but on the logo of UCLA, in the middle, it has a book that's opened. Kind of looks like this one. And it says right here, "Let there be light." Think of that. We're keepers of civility. Number four, our biblical worldview on politics. Why should the Christian care? Because we are to persuade our culture everywhere. True biblical faith and scientific logic and practical reason should absolutely coexist in harmony. Why? Because the author of them all is the same one. And we persuade men. You might be tempted to think, "Well, you know, I'm so educated, I really can't come to faith in God." You know what you just told me? You just told me that you have been so programmed with a bias that you've chosen not to believe in God, because if you are truly educated, you should come to the knowledge of God. Because science, logic, reason should lead you to the one true design engineer who made it to have purpose in the first place. Don't let religion get in the way of your conclusion. Let your conclusion end in a relationship with God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 1, Paul says there, or the scripture says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths, that's 3 weeks, reasoned with them from the scriptures, Old Testament, explaining and demonstrating, don't you love that, everybody? That the Christ had to suffer. That means he used scripture to show them the Messiah would have to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were what? Persuaded. Why? Because the Bible says this. What really happened? Come to the conclusion. Use your head. I love it. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 slides. Are you ready? We're almost done. We should end on time. Okay, listen. First slide, John Adams. John Adams said, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John Adams, founding father, signer, Declaration of Independence, second president. Next slide, John Jay. I look forward to meeting John Jay someday. He wrote a lot of cool stuff. He had his fingers in everything. John Jay played a great role in establishing the Sunday school programs in America's early churches. He was one of the founding fathers and Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. John Jay said this, Providence has given our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is the Supreme Court Chief Justice of the United States of America in 1816. How the mighty have fallen. Patrick Henry. Don't quote me on what I'm about to say right now. I'm going off of memory, which is a terrifying thing to do. I believe, I'll come close though, by the time of his death, Patrick Henry, I believe he had 14 children, him and his wife had 14 kids. And by the end of his life, Patrick Henry had 77 grandchildren. Patrick Henry opened his mouth and people listened. Patrick Henry was known as the orator. If you wanted to pitch a good idea to the American people or to the colonialists, you ran it over to Patrick Henry. That guy could talk. And he was not only considered a founding father, but obviously a patriot. Listen to what Patrick Henry said. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, I want you to look at that for a second. Before we go to our fifth and final point tonight, I want you to look at that for a second. Some within the founding ranks and recognized as founding fathers, some of them were atheists. A couple were considered deists. Most of them had some form of seminary education. John Adams, for example, and his cousin Samuel Adams both entered Harvard divinity school, because that's how Harvard started, did you know? Not as a legal school. It was a divinity school. And when you go to Harvard today, you can go on campus and find placards and monuments still from the time of when John Adams attended. Even though the founding fathers of this nation, predominantly Christian, and the founding fathers of the founding fathers, William Bradford, and those of the Mayflower, profound Christians. Ain't no debating that. These guys say, even though, you know what, there's other religions out there, and there are religionists, this nation was founded by Christians on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that threatens you for a second, you need to take a deep breath and take a pill. Calm down. Because that is so true in what I was saying earlier, because people who were either good were put into power, or there were weirdos in power who feared good people. They're called politicians. I have to be careful. We have senators that attend this church, and we have congressmen that attend this church, and they're good men. And we have state assemblymen here in this church. We have state judges that attend this church. Good people love Jesus. The point that I'm making here is, again, what I said earlier, you cannot find any nation on the face of the earth that allows you to be who you want to be. Freely, without prejudice, without ridicule. In fact, if someone is being prejudiced and ridiculing you, it's not Christian. The Christian is to be the most fair-minded person that you could know. If you know a Christian who's not fair-minded, they're suspect. We'll close with this, number five, and we'll end. Our biblical worldview on politics, why should the Christian care? Simply this, we're to obey God. Well, I don't know if I'm going to vote because I don't know. Obey God. Choose your leaders. Abraham Lincoln said, and we end with this, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, please Lord. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Politics and Faith, Why Should the Christian Care? It's part of a worldview series we're presenting over the next few days here on Real Radio to help believers in being salt and light in an election season. It's part of Pastor Jack's Politics and Faith series, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, this series of messages is available. It goes by the same title, Politics and Faith. Now, here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. I'll say that again. We'll send you this series, Politics and Faith by Pastor Jack Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer to write to us and ask for the set by name, the Politics and Faith series, just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be easily found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.